you go through our text, and we've come to verse 7, which is a brighter note, I would say, moving out of verse 6, but they're all in the book, and we want to faithfully cover every verse. We come to this verse, and I'm calling this session that we'll only give the introduction to the communion of abiding and the conquest of prevailing prayer. Jesus says in this verse, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now we would dig in a little deeper to the awesome reality of, on the one hand, abiding in intimate communion with Jesus and how it's intimately connected with prevailing prayer. You recall in verse 5, Jesus has just confronted the 11 with the truth that the follower of Jesus can accomplish nothing of any eternal value or spiritual significance without him. Without me, you can do nothing. Watch that. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, notice this, number one. You would think that the Lord is going to promise that if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you will be enabled to do all the spiritual works that he has commanded you to do. But if you paid very close attention to verse 7, it's true that without him you can do nothing. However, did you carefully notice that the Lord did not say that if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you will be able to do all things that you're responsible to do? That's not what he promised. He promised something that's even more wonderful and more remarkable and astounding. What did he promise? Oh, get it in your heart, number two. Jesus does not speak of what you will be able to do. He gives you a precious promise concerning what he will do for you through your asking of him. Ask whatever you desire and it shall be done what? For you. He gives us a glorious prayer promise that if we will be wholly occupied with Jesus, if we will abide, continue, endure in an intimate first love communion with Jesus, and if we will cooperate with him so that his words abide in us as the guide and the governor of our lives, he gives us the precious privilege of the mighty power of prevailing prayer in relation to this blessed delight of bearing fruit for the glory of God. That's what he's saying. We will be blessed with the promise of the awesome power of spiritual success in fruit bearing through our prayer life. And that promise of prevailing prayer to bear fruit is one of the most precious promises in the Word of God. So let's dive into just the introduction of it. First of all, Roman numeral 1, I see in that phrase, the one who continues in this intimate communion of a mutual abiding will know the reality of the practice of prayer. Where did you see that? Did you notice what Jesus said? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. You will ask. The Lord Jesus has already said, without him you can do nothing, but if you abide in him and his words abiding in you, you will ask. You'll continue to ask. You'll be asking. You'll be seeking. You'll be knocking. Now, he who fails to abide in intimate communion with the Lord, he who's not walking in sweet intimacy with the Lord, he who's not yielding to the word to abide on the throne of his life, they'll be failing to spend daily communion with the Lord in prayer. Those who are failing to remain in the fire and freshness of first love, intimacy of communion with the Lord, those who are failing to yield to the word, to abide on the throne of their life, will also be neglecting to pray. They'll be experiencing a coldness and a distance in their heart, and their prayer life will become a begrudging duty when it should be a blessed delight. But on the other hand, letter A, prayer becomes a spontaneous overflow for those who are enjoying this mutual abiding in the sweet intimacy of communion with the Lord and His Word. In other words, this natural overflow of this abiding heart will result in asking. If you abide in me and my words are abiding at home in you, you will ask regularly. You will ask humbly. You will be asking dependently. You will be asking confidently. You will be asking expectantly. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. Consequently, this person, their prayer life will not be a begrudging duty. It will be a blessed delight to pray to the one that they're walking in intimate communion with. They won't see the intimacy of prayer as a hard task, but as a holy treasure. Page 47, letter B, the one who enjoys this reciprocal abiding in the vine and in the word will send forth prayers to the Lord as a fire sends forth flames to the sky. And the Lord will send down answers as the sun sends down rays from the sun in God's timing and according to God's will. I have a crochet to my left sitting in my office reminding me of this truth. And that crochet is in Spanish. It was crocheted by a lady who was probably about 80 years old at the time. She was a member of a church plant in Baracoa, Cuba, where there were about 60 or 70 Cuban believers trying to cram themselves into a house church. And they desperately needed a building. You know, the Lord's allowed us to build 7 church buildings in Cuba, and you're a part of every one of them. It's going to blow your mind at the Bema Seat what the Lord has done. And one of those was in Baracoa, and it happened like this. This dear lady, Elaine, was part of that church. They needed a church building desperately, just a concrete block building. They're trying to put the kids in one place, cram all these adults into a Cuban house. And this dear lady had no money. She's living on retirement, and Cuban retirement is the equivalent of $9 a month and food rations. So she had no savings. She had no money, but she wanted to be a part of the church building. So she said, here's what I can do. I can do this. I can crochet. So she did. She crocheted the Bible verse, Revelation 1 and verse 8, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. She crocheted in Spanish, and she was going to have cataract surgery in Santiago de Cuba, 81 miles away. That cataract surgery was going to take place on Monday. So she got in the bus to travel those 81 miles, but she traveled on Saturday because she knows she's going to church on Sunday. And she decided to attend Fourth Baptist Santiago de Cuba. I've never seen this lady in my life. She's never seen me in her life. But she's going to have that surgery, and she's going to church. And what she thought is, I can bring this crochet with me, and maybe I can sell it to one of the church members at First Baptist Santiago, and whatever they'll give me, I'll give it to the building program. So she comes walking into that church. There's about 400 or 500 people in that building. This gringo just happens to be preaching that morning. But before I preach, I stand up and sing. Yo soy el Alfa y Omega, el principio y el fin. Yo soy el primero y el último. I'm singing the verse. She crocheted. You think that's an accident? She showed me that afterwards, and I knew it wasn't an accident. I knew I needed to get in on something here. And 6 months later, I came back with the $6,000 that they needed for the entire church building. This dear lady was praying that she could be part of the blessing, and God did exceedingly and abundantly above whatever she could ask or think. Amen? Yeah, this is God. He's at work, and we want to abide in intimate communion with Him. Notice Roman numeral 2. The one who continues in an intimate communion of mutual abiding will know not only the reality of the practice of prayer, but they'll know, and this is so intimately connected, but I separated it, they'll know the necessity of the practice of prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Because when a believer is abiding in sweet first love communion with Jesus, and the Word of God is at home in the habitation of that believer's heart, that makes them conscious of their great need of the Lord and their great need to pray. Because when they're abiding in Him, they're acutely aware that they're only a branch. And they're in need of the sufficiency of the vine. Amen? So they'll be continually conscious of the truth. Jesus is my only source. He's my only sufficiency. He's my only supply to accomplish the things He's calling me to do in the spiritual realm. Without Him, the branch can do nothing. And when a branch understands that, they put no confidence in themselves as a branch, and they place all confidence in the vine. And the closer we abide in sweet communion with the vine, the more urgently we sense our total neediness of Him, our dependence on Him. I repeat, letter A, a branch who is mutually abiding in communion with the vine is well aware that he is in continual need to draw from the fullness of the life of the vine, and that need will cause him to be sensing his need to ask, to seek, and to knock. We have no ability to live the life He's calling us to live in our own strength and our own power, but we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in union with the vine. We have everything we need for life and godliness in union with the vine, but this reality causes us to draw from His fullness by seeking Him in prayer. Letter B, the Lord commands us to seek His face. The abiding branch gives this loving and submissive response: Your face, Lord, I will seek. Early in the morning, your face, Lord, I will seek. In the middle of the day, your face I will seek. When it's late in the evening, your face I will seek. Amen. We don't doubt our Lord's command to pray. We don't debate about his command for us to pray. We don't delay our obedience to his command to pray. We respond as a faithful soldier under our general. Amen? He'll know the vital necessity of prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. You will always ask. You'll continue to ask. You will pray without ceasing. But let's go even further, Roman numeral 3. The intimate communion of mutual abiding will know the liberty of prevailing prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Do you know the difference between seasons of liberty in prayer and seasons where there seems to be difficulty and coldness in prayer? Amen? I sure do. You know those times when it appears as if your prayers are hitting the ceiling? And they're not getting through, they're coming back in your face. Notice what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Paul's concluding his teaching on the surpassing glory of the new covenant, and he places this verse in the middle of this teaching. And listen, the born-again believer in Jesus who's been planted into a living union with Jesus, they've experienced liberty from the tyranny of sin. They've experienced liberty from the penalty of sin. They've experienced liberty from the fear of death, liberty from the guilt of sin. But how does a born-again believer in union with Christ experience and enjoy personal and practical liberty in the practice of prayer? Well, there's only one way. If you abide in me, and my word abides at home in you, you will know this glorious liberty in prayer. Letter A, if you abide in Jesus and his words abide in you, you will both experience and enjoy this sweet freedom at the throne of grace. It is the one who is abiding in the fire and freshness of first love intimacy with Jesus who experiences this liberty. It's this mutual abiding that enables us by the Spirit to pray in the power of the Spirit, to be moved along by the Spirit in prayer so that we enjoy that warmness of heart, that liberty of expression, that freedom in the presence of our King. I remind you that when ancient kings ruled on their national thrones, that a person would have to be granted special permission to enter into their throne room. And even after they could enter into the king's throne room, they would have to wait for the king to stretch out his scepter before they could give their request. Oh, but the King of Kings' scepter is always stretched out to those who are abiding in sweet communion with him and cooperating with his written word to abide in them. Letter B, the person who is abiding as a surrendered subject to the king will enjoy the freedom of his majesty's extended scepter in prayer. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. The only way to know this liberty in prayer at the throne of grace, it's not acquired by some emotional phenomena or some mystical ecstatic experience. No, we know this liberty as we abide in sweet communion with Him. And His Word is so residing in us that it is governing our lives. Roman numeral 4. The intimate communion of mutual abiding will know the victory of prevailing prayer. Ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. This is Jesus speaking. Is He a liar? He says, ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done unto you. Well, I desire a new house. You think it shall be done? You desire $100,000. Is that what He's talking about? If you abide in Me and I abide in you, ask to be perfectly healthy, and it shall be done for you. You think that's what He's talking about? Oh, how many people rip this verse out of context to try to reward their own covetous heart or their own fleshly desires. But you've got to remember, letter A, you must remember that this asking in verse 7 is directly related to this vital issue of bearing fruit that remains for the glory of God. That's what verse 7 says. It flows into verse 8. It's not, you can't rip it out of context. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will prove to be My disciples. The context is in bearing spiritual fruit. The fruit of the pursuit of sanctification. The fruit of a submission of your life to the Word of God. The fruit of setting your affections on things above and not the things of this world. The fruit of the Spirit, supernatural, sacrificial, servant love for other disciples. The fruit of proclaiming the gospel to lost sinners. You cannot take verse 7 and pull it out of the context and start a religion. Prayer has been designed primarily, Jesus says, right here, to give the followers of Jesus the abounding joy of bearing fruit for the exaltation of Jesus and for the glory of God in answer to prayer. What does Jesus say? Your Father knows what you need. He knows everything you need physically. What does He tell us to do? Seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Remember, Jesus has been speaking in the context about the vital need for the branches to abide in Him and for His word to abide in Him, so in them, so that they may ask and produce spiritual fruit for the glory of God. He's not talking about prayers for a new car, a new house, a new suit, $100,000. He's not talking about prayers for health, wealth, and prosperity. He's not speaking about prayers for being healed from some particular issue, although there's nothing wrong with praying. That's not what He's talking about. Letter B, the Lord is teaching about asking for answers to prayers concerning the extension of the kingdom of Jesus and the accomplishment of the will of God. And He's saying our natural desires, whatever they may be, should always be subordinate to spiritual desires, kingdom desires, fruit-bearing desires. Now, he proves it later on in the same teaching in John 15 and verse 16. Listen to this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. So, this prayer is to be intimately connected with the promise of bearing spiritual productivity for the glory of God. But if a believer or a person tries to pervert that promise and attempt to apply it to some fleshly desire they may have for something, they're robbing the promise of its power. And they're robbing themselves of the power of personally appropriating this promise within the context of which it is given. But he's saying, if you'll walk in intimate communion with me, the fire and freshness of first love, intimacy with the living word, and you will walk in a yielding to the guidance and the government of the written word, you can ask whatever you desire in this area of bearing spiritual fruit. If this is your supreme ambition to magnify Jesus, to glorify God, if it's your passion that God's kingdom would be extended through you, God's will be accomplished through you, you can ask whatever you desire in relation to these realities, and it shall be done unto you according to God's will and in God's timing. Amen. See, when you are abiding in the living word and yielding to the written word, then you can be assured that your prayers for fruitfulness will be successful. As A.W. Pink, the author from many years ago, has well said, prayer was not given to you to put you on the throne. Prayer was given to you to put you on your knees before God's throne. That's the promise. And the vital secret for effective prayer is to become a faithful follower of Jesus who does not seek to use God for my flesh's purposes, but who seeks to be used by God to fulfill His purposes. Amen. I love you. What a joy to serve you God's word and to see the Lord work in you a commitment to come under the word for all this time every night. Thank the Lord for it. May we be doers of his word and not hearers only.